Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, every week at this time, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate, of course, if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208601455. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, your television has to be down at zero on its volume, or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 44780008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, it follows that everything I have to say on the big subjects this evening are entirely my own views. I don't hold them because someone paid me to hold them. I have never said a word in my life in politics in which I did not believe, even if I was wrong. I sincerely believed it. So no one tells me what to do, no one tells me what not to do. But that doesn't mean that my views imparted here are the views of Press TV. Still less are they the views of any government, necessarily. Though I hope my views are increasingly persuasive. We're talking tonight about some really very bloody business. In Burma, the Rohingya Muslims were massacred with the full compliance of the Burmese dictatorship's armed forces, and in some cases with their active participation. Huge numbers, hundreds, maybe thousands of Muslims have been murdered, massacred in Burma. It was a kind of tornado, a kind of tsunami, which swept this marginalized people, not regarded by the Burmese dictatorship as Burmese citizens at all, not allowed to flee across the border by land or by sea to neighboring Bangladesh, an Islamic country with a government that claims to be a progressive one, has turned back the Muslims from Burma and left them adrift, literally in the sea, to die at the mercy of the sharks or to die at the mercy of the Buddhist monks who've been involved in some of the worst atrocities against the Muslim people in Burma, or the goons of the Burmese dictatorship, one which was shunned for decades, and rightly so, at least officially, by most Western governments. But now, thanks to Burma's natural resources and the great treasure trove, this great virgin territory, which may now be opening up for Western companies and governments, the West wants to stick in with the Burmese dictatorship. They want to be on good terms with them. And so they haven't said one word, not one word from William Hague or any of these other monkeys about this series of atrocities, which is continuing until now, until this minute, against the Muslim people in Burma. So much so obvious. But where's the Muslim countries? Where's this ummah that we talk about? Where's this ummah that they teach us about? Has the King of Saudi Arabia said a word, never mind given assent, to come to the relief of the Muslim people in Burma? Has the Islamic Conference done so? Has the Arab League done so? Has Bahrain done so? These countries are forever telling us that they cannot stand idly by and see Muslims suffering, even when the countries they themselves are ruling are themselves a sink of misery, corruption, and suffering. They tell us that they have to travel very far and spend many hundreds of millions of dollars and put their entire propaganda machine, Al Jazeera and the rest, at the disposal of the campaign to end suffering amongst Muslims in, say, Syria, but not one word about Burma. I don't know if Al Jazeera covered the second of my subjects this evening, but if their viewers didn't know about it before this evening, they're going to know about it after this. Because I'm here to tell you that at 10 o'clock in the morning, in Ramadan, one of the senior princes in the Bahrain royal family, a close relative of the emir, had to be dragged blind drunk off a British Airways flight and taken to a UK police cell, where they discovered that the level of alcohol in his blood was simply staggering, even for a Bahraini prince at 10 in the morning in Ramadan. The reason the police had to arrest him, and they were pointing taser guns at him with 50,000 volts of electricity ready to fire, because the man was so completely drunk, he was completely out of control. He stormed the flight deck of the British Airways jet, in beside the pilot, complaining that the champagne at 10 in the morning in Ramadan wasn't quite chilled enough for him, hadn't been served nicely enough for him, perhaps not by a pretty enough girl for him. That's the kind of scum that are running Bahrain. That's the kind of scum that are torturing people in Bahrain, killing them, firing poison gas at them, and all with the complicity of David Cameron and President Barack Obama and the so-called King of Saudi Arabia and the so-called Emir of Qatar, whose forces are occupying Bahrain to keep these scum in power. Do you know what the price of the ticket in the first class cabin that the prince had spent? £2,700 on one airline ticket for a drunk prince who just couldn't deal with this champagne a degree or two too warm. So the next time they tell you that Bahrain's royal dictatorship should be supported because it's a Sunni Muslim dictatorship, just remind yourself of the kind of people they are. Some Sunni, some Muslim, princey boy of the Bahrain royal family. The Olympics, of course, is providing another, well, dripping roast for me. First of all, we've got the killer regime's poster boy, Nasser Miracle, they call him in Bahrain. He's the sort of Kim Jong-il of Bahrain. He claims to be the master of everything, from archery to kayaking to horse racing to tennis to football to science to languages to. Nasser Miracle, they call him. I know one thing about him. I know two men that he personally tortured with his own hands. And where is this scum? Is he drunk on the plane too? No. He's a guest in London, allowed by David Cameron to come here. A man with blood literally on his hands. Princey Nasser and Princey Drunk Boy off the British Airways flight. He'll be appearing, the latter, in court soon. That'll be fun, won't it? Let's all get along to the courtroom, provide a nice welcome for Princey, the drunk piece of scum who steals, tortures, and kills his own people, and yet is free to come and go here in England. Saudi Arabia has a team in the Olympics. I'd like to say that I wish the men and women of the Saudi team well, except, hey, women ain't allowed to participate in sport in Saudi Arabia. I wonder what the feminists in Britain have to say about that. All these feminists in Parliament, in all these parties. How come Saudi Arabia gets such a free ride on this kind of crime? Well, one man has started from the Institute of Persian Gulf Studies, has started a wonderful campaign with a wonderful name. The Bob Marley fans out there will know what I mean when I say the campaign's called No Woman, No Play. So these are the subjects tonight. Jean is on the line from the USA. She wants to talk about Burma, and she's most welcome. Jean, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, George. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to hear your voice. Where are you in the U.S.?
I'm actually in Miami, Florida.
Wow. Waving palm trees. Nice bit of tropical heat there. Go ahead, Jean.
Thank you. Well, what I wanted to talk about, as you mentioned, was the persecution of Muslims in Burma.
Yeah.
You know, Burma has a long history of prosecuting the Muslim minority group. You know, what I've learned is that there are about 800,000 yeah. Muslims living in the northern part of the
yes,
state.
Yes, in Anarka province, yeah? Or
yes.
Ankara province.
And they live in extremely miserable conditions.
Very, very poor
no
people,
rights,
yeah.
No citizenship, no proprietary rights either. And they are also one of the most persecuted minorities in the world.
Yeah.
So all of this is very sad. You know, their situation isn't looking too good, and I wish that, you know, some nation would step in and help them.
Any sign of Mrs. Clinton becoming touched by their plight?
Doesn't look like it. I haven't heard anything.
So there's good Muslims and there's bad Muslims for the British and American
yeah.
governments. Just like there used to be
yeah,
good
exactly.
good Kurds. As Geoffrey Archer, the novelist and former British government minister, once put it, you see, there are good Kurds and there are bad Kurds. The good Kurds are with us, the bad Kurds are against us. It seems that the Muslims in Burma, their blood just isn't worth a dime.
That's what it's looking like, and that's sad to even, you know, fathom. It's hard to think that their lives aren't worth anything.
The police and the army were involved in these murders, you know. It wasn't just the Buddhist monks, though that's bad enough. The Burmese police and
yeah.
army were involved in these murders.
And if you can't trust, you know, your law enforcement, who can you turn to?
There was a bus stopped. 10 Muslims were taken off it and butchered right in front of the Burmese police and paramilitary soldiers. I've just been studying it.
Wow.
I'm getting really involved in this subject now, Jean. And maybe you can be my representative in the U.S. on it. Why don't we work together on this?
Yes, definitely. I'll be your Secretary of State.
Thank you. Write to me at Parliament. GallowayG@parliament.uk. Jean was in the U.S. talking about Burma. Adam's in the U.K. wants to talk about Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Adam, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, George. I think there is something going on which every one of us, we should be stakeholders in solving this problem. The only thing we can do now is to talk, to educate, to sensitize people to know what is going on, which is wrong. The West is using every means necessary to ruin some countries based on their natural resources, to corrupt the culture of those countries based on their natural resources. Not to say much, we look at the Saudi Arabia. The government in Saudi Arabia is a kind of government that violates every international laws under the UN Convention or
yeah.
any international laws.
Yeah. Including the Olympic Charter, and yet they're here parading
yeah.
with their swords.
Yes.
I mean, looking at yes. them, I don't think many of them would be able to fight with their swords. They can scarcely lift them up, the people that I saw on their parade. But they're allowed to parade in the Olympic Games despite having sporting apartheid.
You see, George, you are right. You see, a migrant in Saudi Arabia doesn't have a right. He can be spattered, she can be spattered, she can be slapped. Anything at all can be done to a migrant worker in Saudi Arabia. Where is the government? the migrant is responsible or he's being catered for by the master. They've taken back the slavery. They are enslaving people in their country without right of protection. The government wouldn't protect the person. If he does anything, it is incumbent upon the household that the person is working in to maltreat or treat the person as and what they want. Now, we come to the right of women. Women in Saudi Arabia, their rights have been trampled upon by the people in the country, which is being supported by the government. They don't treat them as equal citizens of the country, or they treat them as the second-class citizens of the country, which is very wrong. Now, we see the West trumpet the right of the human right violation of China, whereby a woman has the right to drive. She has the right as a man. She works as a man and she does everything as a man. But in comparison, they said China has the worst human right than in Saudi Arabia, which of course is contrary. But based upon the resources that they can nick from Saudi Arabia, they raise Saudi Arabia high. Now back to Dubai, Bahrain. We all now know that Bahrain is the annexed state of the United States because it has the biggest fleet outside the United States. Look at the human rights violation that is going on in Bahrain.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Cameron has nothing to say. Mr. Ballhead William Hague has nothing to say. Mrs. Evil Clinton, which is preferred to go to Ghana to celebrate the life of the former president, Professor John Atifi Mills, rather to go to Bahrain to see and fight for the plight of the poor people who are being killed by the drunken princes and the kings.
Drunken and thieves and torturers and murderers, Adam. And we've got people not far from where I'm standing here effectively supporting these criminals, religious men themselves, proper Sunni Muslims themselves, supporting this dictatorship on a sectarian basis, even though the dictators are dirty, drunken, drugged, thieving scum. How's that? What kind of Sunni, what kind of Muslim is that, Adam? Thanks for the call. I'm going to Eric in Germany on Burma and Bahrain. Let's get them both in on the same call. Eric, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway. It's my pleasure to talk to you. Sir, regarding Myanmar, Burma, I just wanted to say, do you remember those days? They used to tell us, mankind should wake up because Aung San Suu Kyi is today 2 hours too late for her breakfast. Oh, my God, the mankind should help. Burma is in turmoil. Aung San Suu Kyi is too late for her breakfast. You remember, sir, but now they are killing, massacring people, and no one is saying anything. And regarding to your question, Mr. Galloway, you were rightly asking, where is the Islamic Nation? Where is the Amir of Qatar? Where is the servant of the holy site in Mecca? Sir, I can tell you where they are. They are killing people, Muslims, in Syria. They are busy with Bahrain. They are killing in Libya, sir. That's where they are. And you know, sir, I was talking to an Egyptian friend of mine here in Germany. They told me, listen, Eric, there is no Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is the American special forces for operation in Islamic countries. Mr. Galloway, as you said, which Shia, which Sunni, these drunken people are killing Muslims on behalf of the West?
Well, that's true. That's true, Eric. But Al-Qaeda does exist. It's invention and growth has been fed by Western injustice and double standards towards the Muslim world in general and the Palestinian and other core Arab questions in particular. Al-Qaeda definitely exists. It definitely carried out terrorist atrocity in many, many places on the earth, not the least of them in the United States itself. But hey, Al-Qaeda are now the ally. Leon Panetta said almost a year ago that there was a flicker of Al-Qaeda about the so-called Syrian opposition. Well, now that flicker of Al-Qaeda is ablaze. The New York Times, why believe me? Read the New York Times. It'll tell you about how Al-Qaeda and other fundamentalist, fanatic, Salafist groups who have openly declared their intention to build a sectarian, fanatic state in Syria, even if that means butchering or driving out all the religious, sectarian, or ethnic minorities in the country, well, they're now our allies, Eric. We're now giving Al-Qaeda guns again, just like we did in Afghanistan in the 1980s. Eric in Germany, thanks for the call. Shireen is in South Africa, wants to talk about Bahrain. Shireen, welcome to the show.
Salam to you.
Salam alaikum. Welcome. Go ahead.
I would like to take this opportunity of wishing you and all those at Press TV a blessed Ramadan.
Thank you so much.
George, I would love to discuss Bahrain today.
Yes.
Firstly, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Press TV for exposing the atrocities committed by this brutal regime of Bahrain on these peaceful protesters who simply want basic human rights. But we know for a fact that this will never happen. The so-called Sunni ruling family will never grant this freedom to the people of Bahrain. Myself as a Sunni, if these people are talking on sectarian lines, they do not represent me or Islam. George, Islam teaches us to love what you love for your brother, what you love for yourself. And I can go further in quoting the Quran. You can never attain piety until you spend that from which you love. And to see my fellow South African Muslims who openly say that we should support the government of Bahrain, it doesn't matter what atrocities they commit. These people also do not represent me. Mr. Galloway, before I leave, before I bid you farewell, I am Shaista's mom. And I want to take this special opportunity to invite you and your beautiful wife to South Africa as our guest. After your extreme hard work with the elections and everything that goes on in your life, you really need this break. And I assure you that my family will do our utmost best in making your stay in South Africa a most unforgettable one.
Well, Shireen, I'm deeply touched by that, as I am by your daughter's frequent appearances here on the show. As a matter of fact, I am coming to South Africa, I think in January, to chair a conference, the Arab National Conference, talking about the apartheid character of the so-called State of Israel. So let's be in touch and we'll see how we can get together. The conference is in Durban and I'll give you the dates and things when I get hold of them. Thanks so much indeed for that, Shireen, in South Africa. A beautiful call, a beautiful family. We're talking about Bahrain, one of the top princes of the Bahraini dictatorship, was taken off a British Airways flight by a half a dozen British police officers holding 50,000 volt electric taser guns at this mad, insane, out of control so-called Prince of Bahrain at 10 o'clock in the morning in Ramadan, because he stormed the pilot's cockpit of an airliner. Imagine, why did he do so? Apparently the champagne at 10 in the morning in Ramadan was just not to his liking, not quite chilled enough, you understand. That's the kind of scum running Bahrain. And if I'm the last man standing, I'm going to continue to harry and harass these people, these torturers. I spoke today to two men who were tortured by the hand of Princey Nasser, the miracle, the man who is currently in London, disgracefully heading up the Bahraini Olympic team. Well, hey, I don't know why he doesn't do all the events himself. Apparently, he can do anything and everything. We're talking about Saudi Arabia's gender apartheid, the unfreest country in the world with the worst record in the world on women's rights. How come feminists and men who claim to be influenced by feminism in the media, in politics, are not up in arms about the plight of women in Saudi Arabia. Well, we're talking about all these things and more, but I'll be back in just a couple of minutes after this news break.